Today's podcast is brought to you by Wild Foods Company, a real food company specializing in organic, fair trade, small batch ingredients from small producers around the world. Check out their full line of organic coffees, teas, cacao, and vanilla products. They even have dark chocolate cocoa powder and vanilla beans straight from Madagascar. Visit www.wildfoods.co and use the code AWILDCOUPLECOOKS for free shipping.
It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast, with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen. Because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well.
Welcome back to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Hello.
We're glad you're here. We started this podcast to inspire you to get in your kitchen, and we've been so excited to hear from different people from around the country and around the world who have been more excited about cooking after listening to this podcast.
In fact, we had just run into a podcast listener this weekend who said that our podcast had been encouraging her to maybe listen to her husband a bit more when she's in the kitchen.
Hey, it's helping marriages around the country. And what about last podcast with Rick Bayless? That was so much fun. He was so inspiring, and I just can't wait to cook out of his cookbook a little bit more. And speaking of cookbooks, we have another cookbook to talk about this week. The duo behind the blog Love and Lemons will be speaking with us about their newest venture.
Plus, we have an asparagus spring taco recipe and more. Stay tuned.
So, Alex, earlier I heard you say asparagus and tacos, and last time I checked, those don't really go together.
Yeah, well, we're out to prove the skeptics wrong.
All those asparagus taco haters.
That's right.
So we actually have a great recipe for an asparagus taco, funny as it sounds. I was starting to brainstorm some spring recipes because it's starting to get warmer here in Indianapolis.
And there may not be that many asparagus taco haters out there, but there are some daylight savings time haters. And I have to say, food bloggers love daylight savings time.
That's right.
The sun is up so much later, you can take pictures so much further into the day, and it's just warm, beautiful, sunny light.
So many more hours of food photography. So back to these tacos. I was thinking of some springtime recipes, and this taco recipe came to mind. It is a ricotta scrambled egg and asparagus taco, which proves that tacos don't always have to have Mexican flavors.
Yeah, this one has ricotta, Greek yogurt, chives, nothing that really says Mexican, but it's so bright and flavorful, you're not going to miss the cumin and cilantro.
Yeah, so what you do is you take some Greek yogurt and mix it up with a little bit of water to make it creamy and add some salt and some chopped chives. And that makes a really nice sauce. And then you go ahead and scramble up some eggs and add some ricotta cheese, which makes them very fluffy, gives them a great texture.
It makes a great dinner, or you could really impress some people at your next brunch.
But wait, I didn't even talk about the asparagus.
Wait, you didn't say asparagus?
No, and then you take some asparagus.
Well, I said that because, well, we just planted asparagus in our garden, and you can't really harvest it until 2 to 3 years after you plant it, so we'll just be having Greek yogurt ricotta tacos.
Good point.
For at least 2 to 3 years.
But I bet our local farmer's market is going to have some asparagus sometime soon.
All right, tell me about the asparagus.
So actually, all you do with the asparagus is you cook it in a dry skillet until it's tender, and then kind of steam it a little bit, throw in a little bit of water, and then cook it.
And to keep that bright green color, you can shock it in a bowl of ice water that stops the cooking process and keeps that beautiful green.
So you just put all those components together in a tortilla, and voila, you've got some spring tacos.
Yum.
And we actually love scrambled egg tacos for when you need a really quick dinner idea. Sometimes we just scramble up some eggs, throw on some salsa, maybe some random vegetables in the vegetable drawer, just saute those up a little bit and throw them on the taco, and it's a great throw it together meal.
Faster than Rachel Ray. When it comes to simple, bright, delicious vegetarian food, you have to look no further than loveandlemons.com and its author, Janine D'Onofrio. She and her husband, Jack, have a new cookbook coming out, and Sonia had the chance to sit down to talk to them about the cookbook making process, vegetables, how to turn a meat eater into a vegetable lover, and many other things. Here they are.
All right, Janine and Jack, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So I want to talk about your beautiful new book, The Love and Lemons Cookbook. But first of all, I wanted to go back in time just a little bit. I know you got engaged in Italy, fell in love, got engaged, and then started cooking and creating a blog at some point. But I would like to know, when you got engaged, what was your food like at the time?
It looked like takeout. We worked and we got a lot of takeout and we went to certain restaurants that we rotated around. I was vegetarian, so I think it wasn't terrible food. It wasn't fast food and it wasn't greasy food. It was pretty health conscious food, but not things that we cooked at home.
Yeah,
necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't until that Italy trip when I proposed to her that we, I mean, much like you guys, figured out that actual fresh organic food just tastes a lot better. And when we got back, I mean, pretty much immediately we started actually going to farmers markets and stuff like that, because it really changed the way we looked at food. So it was almost immediately after our engagement that we completely changed the way we ate.
Wow. So like a complete 180.
Yeah. Well, by just eating fresh, locally grown food and heading to the farmers markets, like he said, and realizing that, you know, the really spicy, delicious arugula is at the farmer's market in the summertime is more delicious than the kind that you can get year round in the grocery store. So that kind of started our love for food.
Yeah, I think, and it was in Italy. I think one of the times that it really dawned on us was when we were eating pizza in Capri and you asked the chef, like, this is the best tomato sauce I've ever had. And what do you say?
I said, what's in this tomato sauce? It's amazing. And he just said, tomatoes. And a little bit of oregano.
Yeah. It's like tomatoes, olive oil, a little bit of oregano.
Yeah. And then I think I cried because I'm like, I can't make this at home because the tomatoes are so good here and I'm never going to have this again.
So then how did you get there? Explain a little bit about that process.
Oh, just find the best tomato. I mean, the best tomatoes that you can find and kind of just keep it kind of simple. But basically, my cooking goal is always just to find the best produce that I can find. And then you have to do less to your food to make it taste good.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever actually going to make that tomato sauce because we're never going to get those tomatoes here, just frankly. So, you know, really a lot of it's about finding what's near you that's fresh and good. And so, you know, make other sauces and use things like here in Texas, like peppers, you know, things that grow here, and just make your own things with what you have. And if you really want a great tomato sauce, go to Italy.
One of the things I loved from reading the intro to your book was about seasoning your food. Janine, you said that you used to have kind of some bland tasting food and that you realized you were just under seasoning. I hear a lot of people say, oh, I can't make my food taste like yours. But we had the same revelation of using some kosher salt and some lemon juice, and you can really amp up your flavors just by seasoning simply.
Yeah, definitely. I use sea salt, and I find there's once I bought iodinized salt by accident somewhat recently and was really surprised how bitter everything tasted. I mean, I season pretty aggressively. I like salt, and I think that when you're cooking from scratch, you're not starting with as much sodium and all those sorts of things that you're starting with when you eat something processed. So I don't think there's anything wrong with liberally using salt and pepper. And sometimes it's just those simple things that really make a really easy just dish taste delicious.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up and, like, you know, they told my grandfather once, they're like, oh, you can't have any salt because salt causes heart attacks. And I think they've since realized that, well, no, restaurant food causes heart attacks, and they salt the heck out of it, you know? So I think that there's some myths or correlations with that that aren't necessarily the causes. And put a bunch of salt on your food, because we've talked to a number of chefs, and it is criminal how much salt goes into food at the restaurant. And they're like, there is no way at home you will come anywhere close to what a restaurant is. So by all means, just, yeah, I mean,
within reason, of
within
course.
Reason. Yeah. Don't just like, don't just like take the whole Morton's thing, cut the top off and dump it in. But like, so, you know, take good, like fingerfuls of salt and throw them on and
until
keep adding
it, until it tastes good.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's what pulls the flavor out of food is salt.
And lemons and pepper and herbs and things like that, where you don't need necessarily tons of butter or other sort of processed ingredients to make things taste really good.
Oh, sherry vinegar. That's your weapon.
Or
too.
Vinegars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of flavoring tips that you have to do when you're cooking primarily with vegetables, since they don't have the inherent flavors that meat has. And I'm curious, Jack, are you a vegetarian?
This feels like a loaded question. No, I am not. I believe we ate at a restaurant called Girl and the Goat with you guys. Where I was very much not vegetarian. Yeah, no, I'm not vegetarian. I eat meat.
But you eat lots of vegetables too.
But I eat a lot of vegetables. Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm
you like everything. Yes. You're an everything eater.
Yeah, I like everything, and I just like things that are flavored really well, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of people I know that, quote, like everything, but really what they like is, you know, McDonald's, fried foods, whatever. Well, I'll eat that. But I mean, if it's really great, if it's really flavorful, I'll eat it. So I love coming home to her cooking and to everything in the book. And it's not like, like a lot of people say to me, oh, do you miss meat? And it's like, well, no, I don't miss meat. I just like eating really good food no matter what it is.
Right. And meat isn't the be all end all. You've tasted vegetables that can taste just as good as meat.
Mushrooms. That's the secret.
I was just reading that chapter about how much you love mushrooms. Tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, like, they're just great. They're basically like little vegetable meat sponges. They're amazing. They hold so much flavor. They've got that depth. Like, you throw them in a soup and you just get this immediate depth of flavor. And like one of my, I think it might have been when I had a portobello burger for the first time. And I was like, my God, like, you can pretty much just sub this in for a meat and it works. You know, I don't know. I love mushrooms. I love when she does something where she just, roast them in like a balsamic oil, you know, and pour some oil on them and it's good. And heck, you can make a shiitake bacon, which we've done a couple of times. Yeah. Oh, where you basically like take and you salt shiitakes and I think put some soy
sauce
in.
Olive oil, soy sauce.
Olive oil, soy sauce. You just roast them in the oven for like hours until they kind of shrivel up and you just can pop them like candy.
For like 1 hour.
Yeah, or 1 hour. Whatever. I don't make it. She makes it.
For like 1 hour. And it tastes just, and I made a BLT out of it, and it tastes like, he is like, this is so bacon like.
Yeah, yeah. She made a BLT with mushrooms. It was incredible.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. And Janine, did you always like mushrooms, or were you one of the haters that didn't love the texture like I was?
I think I never really had, I didn't love them as much until I met Jack. I didn't hate them. But I didn't love them, and I think I just hadn't had them very much aside from raw on a salad, which I don't know, I would just kind of push to the side. But Jack, I would be with Jack at restaurants, and he would be ordering mushroom sandwiches and mushroom risotto, and I think that's what made me come to just try them in a bunch of different ways and love them.
Wait, are you still a mushroom hater, Sonia?
Oh, no, no. I converted several years ago, but I was very vehemently against mushrooms for a large portion of my life.
What is it, because like of those like gross raw oyster?
I think it was a texture thing. It was a canned mushrooms growing up thing, like a cream of mushroom soup phobia. Yeah.
Canned mushrooms?
Yeah, not so good.
Oh, I'm sorry. America failed you. Okay. Wow.
But I agree. Once I tried, I think it was the portobello's that really brought me over the edge. I agree with you, Jack, of the just that meaty, amazing umami going on.
Yes.
Yeah, we love mushrooms. When I asked him one day if you had to give up mushrooms or chicken, which would you give up? And he was like, I would definitely give up chicken first.
Yes.
But that's so much. He loves mushrooms.
So, Jack, I'm also curious, do you cook with Janine in the kitchen, or what does that look like? Is it mainly Janine?
It's mainly Janine. The stuff I try to take on is things that involve more sciencey stuff like baking.
Make bread.
I've made some bread recently. I cooked from the Being Queed book. I made our pretzel recipe on the blog. I like things that are very exact. Baking and things like that actually really lend themselves well. Janine is, I mean, it's kind of our difference in personalities, really. I mean, like, I'm sort of analytical. I code and code for the site. So I like things where it's like, someone puts a pile of directions in front of me, and if I do those right, it's going to be good. And whereas Janine is basically someone that you put a pile of directions in front of her, she will ignore them and do what feels right to her. And somehow it just comes out awesome in the application of savory, not as much in the baking. So I know. But yeah, so that's where I shine. That's why the pretzel recipe was mine, because I had to do a bunch of testing, a bunch of like exact measurements and everything like that. So that's my bag. Otherwise, she's doing the cooking and a lot of the styling, and I'm hitting the button on the camera.
And doing the eating.
And I do the eating.
Yeah, we see that a lot, actually. I feel like there are two different approaches to cooking, this kind of scientist brain and then the artist brain. And I'm definitely right there with you, Janine, being an artist. But Alex is similar to you, I would say, Jack, where he's the more exacting scientist. So he gravitates towards the bread and the grilling.
Yep.
Yeah.
So tell us more about what it's like to write a cookbook. You had how many recipes are in this book?
I think there are at least 120.
Okay. 120 recipes that you create, test, and photograph.
Yes.
Together as a couple. You're still married, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
It was yeah.
A lot of work.
It was
about a year of our life.
Yeah, it was about a year. I took like 6 months off of work to actually help shoot it.
You did. Wow. And tell us what is your work?
I make video games.
So jealous.
Don't be.
No.
Okay. So I make video games. Everyone goes, oh, that must be so fun. But how would it feel if I just said, oh, you food blog, you just eat all day. That sounds like a blast. But yeah, so for the book, testing is obviously extremely important, because once it's in print, it's in print. You know, you can't go back and edit the recipe later as you've sort of had some things
going. Well, and I should add that while Jack doesn't cook, he tested. We had multiple testers, but one of the best testers was Jack, because he would have to follow the instructions exactly. And he doesn't cook at all. So I could easily see where I wrote something that wasn't clear, because I would see what he would kind of mess up or get stuck on.
Perfect. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did have recipe testers, but there was that. And then basically, like, I've learned with the blog, especially, not to like give Janine feedback that is not to try to be overly nice in terms of like, oh, that's great, even though it's not that good or something. Cause like it only makes things negative. So if something is like, it's only okay or whatever, I'll just say it, you know, whereas, you know, other people might want to mince feelings or something like that. But yeah, so that was fun. But I mean, you know, about halfway through the book, we also brought in a friend, Jen Elliott Blake, to help with styling, which was actually a giant help and something that was really different for us. Cause you know, normally we just do the styling here, but when you've got a pile of 120 recipes in one book, you really need to make sure they can all look distinct. And and talk about the props, I guess. I mean, her bag of tricks that she brought with her.
Yeah, she was great. She brought a lot of plates and, well, eight boxes full of stuff.
Yeah, she shipped 8 boxes from Seattle just full of props. And we had like a giant prop table out for months of just random assortments we could pull from and everything like that, which was great.
So for our listeners who might not know the importance of food styling, why would you bring in a stylist to your shoots?
Well, first, I brought it. She was a prop stylist. So I styled all the food still. And it was about halfway through. So I was about 50 recipes or 60 recipes in. And I would print everything out for a lot of the recipes, I created them and we shot them at the same time. But I would print everything out when I had a finished recipe and a finished photo. And as you flip through, somehow it was unlike the blog, when you're just flipping page by page, and every recipe is finished, not so much a process shot or a vegetable shot, they're all finished recipes. It started to get really obvious that I only had so many plates, and I have a lot of plates. So it's just a lot of, and also because I think there's a photo for every single recipe in the book. You know, a lot of cookbooks, as I was flipping through my favorites, I realized there would be pages with text and no photos, and then photos would show up, which has, I think, a nice flow. But our book has a photo of the dish and then the recipe, you turn the page, a photo, recipe, a photo, recipe. So making every time you turn the page look exciting and new and different, it was a lot. So we brought in a prop stylist just to help make some of those shots more than just here's the plate of food, like to kind of set a little scene and give, give the book more personality. And it was also really nice because I could just focus on making the food look pretty. So I didn't have to, it was much more efficient. So I could make the recipe and make sure that the cilantro looked just right and was placed just right. But I also didn't have to make sure that the napkin was placed just right too, while the cilantro wilted, which sounds really kind of crazy, but.
Yeah, a lot goes into making food look beautiful.
Yes. I mean, you know, like it's a challenge always to bring home groceries that are really fresh and then keep them looking fresh while you're shooting so that they don't wilt and look bad. So yeah, it was a lot to do this many things in a short amount of time and make it all look fresh and get all the pieces working together. It was a lot of work, but it was fun.
So now that you're on the other side of the cookbook process with all of that work completed, is there a recipe or two that stands out that you'd like to recommend for us to try?
Well, first, it's so hard to pick because they're all kind of like my children, but I really love this eggplant and mushroom meatball recipe that it's toward the end. It's like a spaghetti and meatballs, but it's not made of meat or funny soy products or anything like that. It's mushroom. It's all vegan. I think there's some panko breadcrumbs, but it's mushrooms and eggplant. I think that's one of my favorites. What's your favorite?
What's my favorite?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Well, I'm partial to the Dutch baby.
Jack made the Dutch baby.
Though,
really?
No, well, actually, okay, so my actual favorite is the samosas. So we did these samosas, and I've been wanting to do them because I love Indian food, and I love them so much. And
they're made with sweet potatoes and peas. Sweet potatoes instead of regular potatoes.
Yeah, sweet potatoes, peas, samosa. But the fun part was actually also making the wrapper, you know, because, again, it's the whole bit of the baking thing. Yeah, the dough. That was fun. But I do want to call out the Dutch baby, which was a minor miracle because I sort of read the recipe wrong for a little bit, and I baked
his own recipe.
My own recipe.
We made it multiple times and ate it, and then when we were going to shoot it, hadn't written down the recipe right.
And so I made it a total of, was it 5 or 6 times?
To get the picture right.
To get the picture right before I realized what I messed up in the recipe. But literally, like, there was one day where I just became a Dutch baby insane man, where I think I made it 4 times in a row trying to tweak one little thing every time. And so
it turned out that it works better if you don't blend the eggs than if you do blend the eggs.
Yes, that is actually a lesson
we learned. That was the lesson.
And so it was just like insane because I'd made it many times before, and then I'm trying to do this. And I mean, this is close to the end of the time when Jen was here.
Yeah, running out of time.
Yeah, we were already like, I was already kind of insane by then, and I think this one just sort of put it over the edge of like, this is mine. It has to be right. And so I'm partial to that one as well. So.
And I was like, you have one recipe in the book. You can't just get your one recipe right for me. Like,
right. So she also egged me on about it, which was good. So, but yeah, so the actual like favorite one to eat that was also really fun to make and do, samosas.
Yeah.
Dutch baby's a close second for memories. So
there's a salad in the book. It's called the mango and daikon noodle salad, and it has mango strips that are sliced thinly. It's tossed with rice noodles so that the mango is a similar noodle-like size, the daikon is sliced into a noodle-like size. So there are these strands of daikon, rice noodles, and mango. And during, while we were, the craziness of shooting every day, the day that we were working on this, the night before, I went to bed and I had a dream that the salad was my hair. And I was just,
and I was trying, what does that say? What does that say about you?
I think it was maybe the eighth day until we were done shooting. And I was like, this has to be done soon. I'm going crazy. I'm having dreams that this noodle salad is my hair. And I was trying to blow dry it and it was like singeing off at the ends. And I woke up and I just got, oh my God, we're in cookbook overload.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the design for the book because it is just simply gorgeous. And I know, Janine, you had a huge hand in that.
Design is very important to me. I'm a graphic designer myself. And I didn't do all the design myself because that would have been a little crazy. But I worked with my good friend, Trina, who I worked as a graphic designer with for years and years. And
she has a company now called, her name's Trina Bentley, and her company is
Make and Matter. Her company is called Make and Matter, and we used to be in business together in graphic design, and we basically, we have the same vision for things. So I had started, my original proposal was very designed, and in the back of the book, like the pesto chart, it's like a chart that basically has four variations of how to make pesto, four variations of how to make salsas. And it's very graphic. I had to sort of design that and a few sample spreads in my proposal. So, and I knew that that whole design factor would be hard to pass off to just anybody. Working with Trina was really a dream because we seamlessly well together.
They share a brain.
And we could collaborate. I could tell her, here's what I'm going for. And then what she would show would be exactly what I had in my head and more. You know, without any sort of like conflict of, I don't like that. Or what about the, I mean, like the whole beginning of the book, she designed and then I rearranged all the photography to say, oh, actually we could, you know, there's this section called how to cook with many vegetables in the beginning. Anyway, I kind of saw where she was going with the design and then I could say, oh, I'm going to reshoot this whole section to make the photos work like this. So it was a really fun back and forth to, I guess, work with her and make, you know, a really beautiful book, which was really important to me.
Well, it turned out amazingly. So kudos to both of you on that.
Thank you.
So what would you like readers to take away from your book?
I think just to have fun with vegetables. The book, it's organized all by vegetable. It's the way that I cook, which is I like to see something and be inspired by it. And I don't necessarily know what I'm going to make with it. And then that's how I start cooking, is by finding something that's beautiful, fresh, and seasonal, and then figuring out what to make with it. So that's why the book is kind of organized to be able to go to the vegetable chapter using the ingredient that you have on hand and kind of build a meal from there. But really, really, I just wanted to make, you know, it beautiful and just get with a lot of options. There are a lot of, the book is all vegetarian. There are a lot of vegan options. There are a lot of gluten-free options. It's not about that I think people should eat vegan or should eat gluten-free. I love vegetables and I hope other people like do too.
How about you, Jack?
I'd like them to take away how hard a Dutch baby is to make. No. I want them to look at the recipes and the things in this book and create their own things from it. I don't want them to just look straight at the recipes, make everything rote and exact and do it. You know, I'd like them to look at it as a guide, because what I love about Janine's cooking is that really it is about, you know, because I mean, I watch her cook all the time and it really is about, oh, this looks beautiful. This looks beautiful. How can I add some acid, some sweet, and then these other pieces that I cook with often, and make a really cohesive dish? And honestly, it just takes a lot of practice to figure that out. And so this book, I would hope people could look, see some of those common elements and just be like, oh, okay, I see what she's going for here. Why don't I try this, this, and this based on where I live? And that's what I'd really like to see people take away from the book.
Right. So use it as inspiration for their own cooking journey.
We should have put that on the front of the book. That's a great way to put it. Yes.
All right. Well, it has been such a pleasure to talk to both of you. And I love the little inside peek we got into the different recipes that you loved from the book and just thinking of you doing all those dishes. it's been a true pleasure. And thank you so much. We will provide all the information on the book in the show notes. But where can listeners find you if they would like to learn more?
At loveandlemons.com. Or Love and Lemons on Instagram. And the book is sold, you know, Amazon and everywhere that books are sold.
And Anthropology.
Anthropology.
Fantastic.
And Amazon.
All right. Well, thank you again so much, Danita and Jack.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye.
I love that idea of cookbooks as simple inspirations for ideas of what to combine in the kitchen. And that's kind of the way that we use cookbooks, since we can't seem to make a recipe straight up anymore.
Glad to hear that authors appreciate it when people riff on their recipes, because that's all we ever do.
But speaking of following recipes exactly to a T, we just made a recipe from the Love and Lemons cookbook, the carrot ribbon and chickpea tacos, and they turned out fantastic. We have our photograph of the recipe along with the recipe on our blog, acouplecooks.com.
Yeah, that recipe was a perfect example of this idea that Janine put in her book, 6 simple steps to making a delicious meal with whatever vegetable you have. I just thought that was really interesting.
Oh, so what are the steps?
Well, you start with the vegetable. Number 1, carrots. Number 2, pick a format, in this case tacos. Number 3, pick some supporting ingredients like
Greek yogurt, cilantro sauce.
Well, sauce is number 4.
And chickpeas.
And then number 5, spice it up, in this case jalapenos.
Jalapenos, yes.
And then number 6, make sure you make enough to have leftovers. I love that. It's just a simple way to take any vegetable and turn it into a more, not just a meal, but a couple meals.
I'm not sure if we had leftovers on that one though. Trying to remember, but I think that you may have consumed a large amount of tacos.
Well, I'm bigger than the average person.
And I will mention too, I love just the theme of trying new flavors, of how Janine used to hate mushrooms just like I did, and how those can just really become an amazing carrier for all sorts of savory flavors in vegetarian cooking. I've mentioned this before, but I was quite the picky eater before we started getting in the kitchen.
I never thought you'd eat tomatoes or mushrooms or citrus of any sort or all sorts of other things. But
yeah,
turns
orange
out,
juice was like the devil to me.
If you eat the good version of them, like Jack said, they taste pretty good no matter what it is.
It's true. I think I've been cured of all my dislikes.
Turns out Papa John's had it right all along. Better ingredients, better pizza.
What?
That was not sponsored by Papa or John or Peyton Manning. Anyway, that's our challenge for you this week.
Taking some vegetables in your refrigerator and improvising up a meal. Maybe it's a scrambled egg taco. Maybe it's a carrot and chickpea taco. It can also be things other than tacos. But yeah, get creative. Let us know what you decide to make. And it can be based on either a recipe that you've seen or just out of your head, Iron Chef style.
So that's our show for this week. As always, you can find the show notes on acouplecooks.com/podcast. And of course, you can always find us on Twitter and Instagram as well, @acouplecooks.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.